after their departure. If you ever get one of these sweets, you know what is Mother Kalanga. A very, very, let us say, conscious devotee. She would always go and prepare these Mangalarti sweets. That was her main service, isn't it?
Yeah.
And she trained also an army of Mangalarti sweets makers. I mean, her recipes and her way of doing it, which is really extraordinary. It's an art. Really come. And I was surprised when she became not so well. Really, all the world was knowing about her and taking concern, sending their support and their love and their affection. And she really had a wonderful departure. I mean, it was absolutely pain-free. She was in the atmosphere which she appreciated. She loved. She wanted to be in the Bhaktivedanta manner. And really, from all over the world, only support and affection came to this humble sweet maker, you know, a Mangalarti sweet maker. And it really showed me you don't have to try to go through contortions to be or become something that you are not. You can be the person you are with the skills which are given to you and just do that for Krishna. And Krishna will take notice and take you at the time when it's your time to go, in great comfort, with great support. You know, this world is so resource oriented. They think if you have more money or more health, if health is a resource, or more friends, or more recognition, that's our life. But we should be more bhakti-oriented, and we do something with devotion for Krishna. That is success in life. So, on this day, it is. I don't know Mother Kalanga so very well, so I'm very joyful about this event, but those who know her very well, or somewhat feel, of course, a mixture of the pain of separation and the joy sharing with her achievement or her exalted status. So, Hare Krishna. We will now change to the glorified Lord Krishna on his appearance day.
I'm
The oldest day, we have a very special text from the Bhagavatam about Lord Krishna's appearance. It is in the 10th canto, chapter 2, text 18.
Shura Sutena Devi
Nadara Sarvatmakam Atma
Auspiciousness for all living entities in all the universes of the creation.
Auspiciousness for all the universes of the creation.
Achyuta Angsam.
Achyuta Angsam.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is never bereft of the six opulences, all of which are present in all his plenary expansions. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is never bereft of the six opulences, all of which are present in all his plenary expansions. You can see your attention span is quite small this morning. Imagine you have to be Brad Pitt, who has to learn a whole 2-hour movie by heart. He's interested because he wants the money and the fame, maybe more the fame than the money. You must also be interested. Then you can learn just maybe a few words, or then later more. Samahitam.
Samahitam.
Fully transferred.
Fully transferred.
Shurasutena.
Shurasutena.
By Vasudev, the son of Shurasena.
By Vasudev, the son of Shurasena.
Devi.
Devi.
Devaki Devi.
Devaki Devi.
Dadara.
Dadara.
Carried.
Carried.
Savatmakam.
Savatmakam.
The supreme soul of everyone.
The supreme soul of everyone.
Atmabhutam.
Atmabhutam.
The cause of all causes.
The cause of all causes.
Kashta.
Kashta.
The east.
The east.
Yata.
Yata.
Just as.
Just as.
Anandakaram.
Anandakaram.
The blissful moon.
The blissful moon.
Manastaha.
Manastaha.
Being placed within the mind.
Being placed within the mind.
Translation. Thereafter, accompanied by plenary expansions, the fully opulent Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is all auspicious for the entire universe, was transferred from the mind of Vasudeva to the mind of Devaki. Devaki, having thus been initiated by Vasudeva, became beautiful by carrying Lord Krishna, the original consciousness for everyone, the cause of all causes, within the core of her heart, just as the east becomes beautiful by carrying the rising moon. So this is a very, very interesting pastime. In Christianity we have the unbefleckte Empfängnis, the conception, the immaculate conception. I think this is the English word.
Immaculate.
immaculate conception. That means there is no worldliness in the conception. So here also we have something like this, much before our European religious tradition. We have that there's a great devotee, Vasudeva, who has the Lord in his heart. Do you remember from yesterday how he looked with the Lord in the heart? Very effulgent, yes, very effulgent, glowing almost. He became a dhamman, a holy place where the Supreme Personality of Godhead resides. So here, that Lord comes over from his mind into the mind of Devaki. And an example is given. You know, in the evening, when the sun is in the west, its rays are transferred to the moon, who rises on the eastern horizon, actually. So, you know this image? There's the sun in the west, and then the moon you can see east, you can see it looks a little white because it's still a little light there, but then the moon rises and it carries with it the rays of the sun. Very beautiful analogy. So in the same way, Lord Krishna rose in the heart of Devaki. It's a long purport, and I do know that attention span is limited in the morning, so I will just read an excerpt from it. When Vasudeva was sustaining the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead within his heart, he appeared just like the glowing sun, whose shining rays are always unbearable and scorching to the common man. The form of the Lord, situated in the pure, unalloyed heart of Vasudeva, is not different from the original form of Krishna. The appearance of the form of Krishna anywhere, specifically within the heart, is called dham. Please take note of this sentence. The appearance of the form of Krishna anywhere, and specifically within the heart, is called dham. Dham refers not only to Krishna's form, but to his name, his form, his quality, and paraphernalia. Everything becomes manifest simultaneously. In this way, Devaki became the residence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is one without a second and the cause of all creation. Devaki became the residence of the Absolute Truth, but because she was within the house of Kamsa, she looked just like a suppressed fire or like misused education. When fire is covered by the walls of a pot or is kept in a jug, the illuminating rays of the fire cannot be very much appreciated. Similarly, misused knowledge, which does not benefit the people in general, is not very much appreciated. So Devaki was kept within the prison walls of Kamsa's palace, and no one could see the transcendental beauty which resulted from her conceiving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's almost a little dramatic, how we are informed here that Devaki carried the Lord in the heart, but somehow that was not visible to the common man because she was behind the prison walls of Kamsa's prison. So Prabhupada now quotes another Acharya, Sri Nilaraghava Acharya, who says something in commenting on this point, how Vasudeva, or how from the heart of Vasudeva, Krishna became transferred in the heart of Devaki. Commenting upon this verse, Sri Vilaraghava Acharya writes, Vasudeva Devaki Yatarayo Ridayo Bhagavata Sambandha. That means the Supreme Lord's entrance into the womb of Devaki from the heart of Vasudeva was a heart to heart relationship. Hare Krishna. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vishnaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Acharyaya Shatarine Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasari Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Sindhu Dina Bandho Jagadvade Govesha Govika Kanta Rada Kanta Mostute Tata Kancha Gorangi Rade Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Ramani Hari Vrede Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. In this appearance of the Lord, there are also a few other additional persons involved. We have heard here about Vasudeva's and Devaki's part in the appearance of the Lord. But there was before that also Lord Brahma, who went to Mahavishnu, or to the Lord Vishnu, or Vishnu, in the island in the ocean of milk, and he and the devatas intensely prayed for the Lord to appear, because at that time the material universe had become a place really uninhabitable for the devotees of the Lord. It was ruled entirely by demons who exerted their influence to every nook and corner of the universe. So Brahma took part in the appearance. Lord Balaram also appeared, like we have discussed yesterday, who prepared really the ground, if you so want, or the womb of Devaki for the Lord to appear. Brahma is Jiva Tattva, or living entity. Lord Balaram is Vishnu Tattva. And also involved in all this divine appearance of the Lord is his inner energy, his yoga maya potency, who is Shakti Tattva. Yoga maya came also, was also part of this amazing arrangement by transferring Baladev, by appearing before Kamsa and giving him a warning. All throughout, and there are many other instances, Yogamaya was there. So the divine appearance of the Lord was orchestrated, and there were many personalities who took part in it. Brahma, the Devatas, Lord Baladev, and Yogamaya, and also Devaki. And as we will hear this afternoon, that's a whole different arrangement for the Lord's appearance in Vrindavan. But that is a confidential secret which we will look on this afternoon. So good. I would like to just relay to you the often heard story of Krishna's divine appearance, and then focus on one aspect which I feel is very relevant, or could be, let us humbly say, could be very relevant to your own celebration of Janmashtami and your spiritual life after Janmashtami. We all know that Devaki, Krishna's mother, was given as Kanyadan, or in sacred marriage, to Prince Vasudev, and on her day she was, when she left her father's home where she grew up, it was a great emotional experience. But whenever the daughter who grew up in a certain house leaves the house for good to go to the house of her husband, this is a great, emotional distress. The parents are so attached to her, they cry often. This goes even on in modern times. And the brothers and so on have to say goodbye to a very dear member of the family. So Kamsa, who was related to Devaki, and in the Indian way of seeing things, he was like an elder brother. He was not a direct blood brother, but very close relative. Thought, well, this is such an emotionally distressful situation for Devaki and for the whole family, that I, who is the son of the king, will take care of this and I will be there to solace it. So he took his golden chariot and brought Devaki and Vasudev to their new home. In the midst of the road, many, many people stood on the left and right side of the boulevard, the kingly road. In the midst of this, a voice comes from the sky. It says, Kamsa, you fool, you carry on your chariot that your death, because the eighth child of your sister Devaki will be the cause of your death. So just imagine Kamsa, who a moment before was, his eyes were wet with emotion. He guided the chariot very expertly, and he felt very good about his relationship with Devaki. I'm doing this for my sister, and very affectionately he did it. From one moment to the other, his mind turned, and he actually became so afraid and upset that he I don't know if he stopped the chariot even, but he turned around, he pulled his sword out of the, you know, it's called the sheath, I believe. Haridam, you can be
satchel.
What?
Satchel.
Satchel. And he took his sister Devaki by the braid and bared her neck and was ready to decapitate her before the whole town of Mathura, before her husband Vasudeva. Just think about it. How cruel this person became. And this can tell you a very important lesson. I have read in His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj how he comments this. He says, just see how quickly a friend became an enemy because his sense gratification was endangered. And this is how it's said, why we hear, this is a graphic example, how we hear one should not trust really materialistic people. It seems to be a friendship. Maybe you have seen that in your life with someone, everything seems to be good and very nice, and all of a sudden, because of a conflict of interest, a materialistic person whose senses, especially the mind, is not under his control, can become a deadly enemy. We have to be really careful, my dear devotees, that this doesn't happen in our relationship, that there is some disturbance which will come due to the material energy. Rest assured, there will be upset. And then, when there is a small disturbance, or even a big disturbance, I mean, this was, of course, a bigger disturbance, and then, woof, we flare up and become deadly enemies. This is not for devotees. They should be well aware. They should control their mind at such times and understand this is material energy working. No problem. I will see my devotee, fellow devotees with love and affection and respect, no matter what happens. So Vasudev saw that on the day of his marriage, the life of Devaki was just, I mean, it was actually already spent because Kamsa was deadly determined. So he stopped his cousin. He said, Kamsa, how can you do this? And please think about it. Death will not come from Devaki. The voice said it will be her eighth son, not Devaki. And I promise, on this fateful day, I give my word of honor that I will deliver to you all the sons which come from Devaki. And you can, while they are still in an infant state and not a threat to you, your life, you can do what you deem is right at that moment. Kamsa looked at Vasudeva, and he knew, this person is different from me. When this person gives his word, when this person does something, he stands by it, even if it is unpleasant. He's not like me. I'm a friend as long as it's good for me. But when this is, when my life is in danger, or when my comfort is in danger, I turn around and it's not like me. So that was because Vasudeva was exalted as father of Krishna. Very exalted, his mind and senses fully under the control because of his exalted Krishna consciousness. Yes. So Kamsa agreed to the proposal. Fuming with rage and fear, he put his sword back and continued is bringing Devaki to her new home. Now, then some many events happened. Devaki actually brought forth sons because they wanted to accelerate the appearance of Lord Krishna. And finally, when Kamsa threw them, Kamsa changed his mind again. He said, I have no problem with the seven sons which are born. So he said, let them go, let them grow up. I don't want to kill little children for nothing. But then when Narada Muni said to him, better be safe than sorry. then Kamsa again switched over and killed all the little sons and put Devaki and Vasudev in prison. He chained them up. But this was not a problem for the conception as we understood, because the Lord wanted to appear and came to the heart of Vasudev, and from there was transferred into the heart of Devaki, and there appeared in the prison, shining in an extraordinary form. When he came, everywhere, at all places, the universe was celebrating. It was such an auspicious atmosphere. Flowers which usually would not grow in the night but blossom at 12 o'clock in the night, smiling because the Supreme Lord Vishnu was there and had appeared. He came in regal dress with a crown made of gold, a stately figure with his four sides in his four arms, a wonderful dhoti, a full grown black hair. Devaki saw this. Her motherly instinct spoke through her. Oh, my Lord, you are. And she offered prayers, and then Vasudev offered prayers, and finally they said, please my Lord, hide yourself. When Kamsa sees you like this, he will attack you. Become small. And then the Lord, following them, their request, became a very small baby. And Vasudev took him in his hands. He must have cried tears of ecstasy. And as he took him in the hands, his iron shackles fell from his left hand, his right hand, his feet. He saw the prison doors opening. He just followed a natural instinct. Brought him out of the prison. He saw all the guards with their dangerous animals. You know, some had tigers to keep all the high security prisoners well guarded. They all were well asleep, snoring like devotees in a Bhagavatam class. No, sorry. You don't do this, I know this. And he took him to Jamuna. It was very interesting when he had the Lord in his hands. Then all the bondage was falling off, all the prison doors opened. But when he came back again, the bondage came on his head, the shackles tackled him. And so on. This, because he carried carried yoga maya, or you know, when you have Krishna in your head, all your life is free. When you have maya, touch maya, we go bound. So this is what we learn from this very nicely. Now, my dear devotees, I know you have heard this translated the past time. You have most probably read it in preparation to your Jamashtami celebration. I want to now talk about an aspect of this Leela which is, I think, very relevant for all of us. I must say before I start, it had touched my interest since many years, and this Jamashtami I finally decided to sit down and do some research on this aspect. There is a long story, or let us say, there are many things which happened before the appearance of Krishna. In times when we can't even count back, there was a sage called Marichi who was married to Urna and who had together with her six sons which were exalted demigods. It was at the dawn of creation where he and at that time something unexpected happened to Lord Brahma, the creator. He had created many beings, and to one being he became inordinately attracted. It was his own daughter. He was so overwhelmed with physical attraction that he completely forgot all rules of propriety and approached her with an inappropriate desire. And she declined, of course, and in order to save her father and herself from this dishonor, she escaped and ran away from him. But Brahma was not in his right sense and followed her with lusty intentions. In her helplessness, she changed into different forms, like a female horse, a mare, I think it's called, a mare. Female horse? No?
Mm-hmm.
What is a female horse?
It's a mare.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. So it is alright. A female horse, for simple English. So, and she changed into a male horse. She tried to escape by changing many forms. These are high beings, that their mind is enough to shape their shape. It can shift shapes like anything. And at that time, these demigods, exalted demigods, looked, and these six sons who saw it, they started to laugh uproariously. With such a thing, it was an inordinate emotion. They should have commiserated. They should have tried to save Brahma from the act. And when Brahma heard this, he stopped and he came to his right sense. But these six had done what is considered a mistake. They have acted rashly and unempathetically, and therefore they lost their exalted status and became born as the sons of Kala Nemi, who is a great demon. A great demon. He is actually the son of, believe it or not, Hiranyakashipu, according to Harivansa. They took this birth. And in the Bhagavatam, Prabhupada writes about what happened to them. They had acted in a very bad way, and they were punished for this. I was once at a funeral of a very dear devotee. the devotees in Germany remember her with great affection, Saranandi. And I had spoken my lecture from in the church. They gave me a pulpit. It's a pulpit, a place, you know, where the priest speaks from. I had given a lecture there to say goodbye to her. And we were all really, well, we all said, for the soul there is no birth and death. But she was such a good person, and you can only compare with an angel, you know. And everyone was really, oh no, why so young and so on. So in that assembly, which was really filled with very affectionate, deep feelings, was one stranger. The stranger started to become influenced by the atmosphere in the crematorium and started to burst out and said, "Why do you all cry, you devotees of Krishna? Don't you know that she's eternal?" But it was said, you know, when you speak philosophy with it can be misused knowledge, you know, you can do this to harm people. And it was just so everyone looked at the stranger. And the look of so many Vaishnavas was enough to silence the stranger. He became silent, but afterwards I know the stranger. He became very much afflicted by bad face in the life, because it was really offensive to talk like this in the assembly of devotees. It was really like a wrong thing. It's like laughing when someone dies, you know. It was really like that. It's an inordinate emotion. So they were brought by Yoga Maya into the form of Kalanemi's seed, and they were born as the sun. I want to read to you what happened then. Formerly there was an asura named Kalanemi, and he had six sons named Hamsa, Suvikrama, Krata, Damana, Ripumarana, and Kroda Hunter. They were known as the Satgarbas, or six Garbas, and they were all equally powerful and expert in military affairs. So, once, because they're military people, they knew we are demons, and we are always attacked by the demigods. So, in order to live a good life, let us pray to grandfather, let us satisfy Lord Brahma and ask him for a boon. And they did austerities. They went into the mountains, and Hiranyakashipu said, "Where are my grandsons?" "Oh, you don't know? They went into the mountains." Hiranyakashipu said, "That's what I also did. What did they do there?" "They perform austerities." "Very good, Hiranyakashipu. I also did austerities in the mountains in order to become immortal." "They must do that. They do the same. They follow me very nicely." But what did these six did in the mountains? They did austerities, but they worshipped Brahma. And they asked him for the blessings to not be killed by any demigods, not by any strong disease, and so on. And Brahma understood the purpose and said, "Yes, yes." So then Hiranyakashipu came to know that my grandsons worship my enemy, the demigod Brahma. for such a boon. He became so disgusted that he said, these are not worth to be my grandson. He became very angry and he said, you have given up my association and have gone to worship Lord Brahma. Therefore, I have no affection for you anymore. See, this is how the demons are. They are very pleased. Very nice friendship. But then, bang! You have tried to save yourself from the hands of the demigods. But I curse you in this way. I'm sorry, it is become a little inauspicious now. Your father, Kalanim, will take birth as Kamsa. Your father will take birth as Kamsa and kill all of you because you will take birth as the sons of Devaki. This is the worst type of murder, you know, when a son is killed by his own father. This is who should give him life and support life. But this had all a big meaning. And the meaning is the Devaki in whose womb they appeared was there in the prison, and she was constantly in fear of Kamsa, that Kamsa would come and kill her sons one after the other. This is the worstest thing for a mother, to see how her little embryo or her son or daughter gets killed right before her eyes. It is intolerable. It goes totally against the instinct of the mother. So Devaki, who represents bhakti or devotion, was in constant fear of this Kamsa, who represented the fear. This has a very, very deep meaning. Because of this situation, this fearful situation, actually Krishna took birth in her. And Prabhupada draws an analogy. A devotee, a bhakta, who should have bhakti in his heart, needs to also develop fear of the material energy, because only when he becomes a little fearful and not proud and not overconfident that I am a great devotee, everything works, then Krishna will take care of birth in his heart. So this is a difficult subject matter, because nowadays fear, this is very bad. Fear, we should not be afraid. This brings guilt and so many problems. All these religions, they are problematic because they create fear and guilty feelings in their followers. This is the modern talk. Let's do psychological work at me to finally get fear, free from fear and guilt. I've seen so many of the devotees, such a devotee will say, they suffer because of guilt and fear, and that blocks their spiritual life. So we here have now a problematic discussion, and it is good that we look at this. Now, I think there is value in this viewpoint, but I would like you now for a moment to consider a different viewpoint and then see where you stand with all of this. Actually, in the scriptures it says, mancha yo vyabhicharina bhakti yogena sevate sagunam samatityetan brahma bhujaya kalpate. It's in translation, those who are engaged in devotional service have nothing to fear. they transcend by their spiritual engagement the material energy and become situated on the transcendental level. So Krishna talks in the Gita. So yes, when you take to a spiritual life, a life in Krishna consciousness, bhaya or fear, there is that no place of that normal fear of birth and death, repeated birth and death, the miseries which come with it. However, writes Prabhupada, a devotee who's engaged in bhakti has nothing to fear because he is transcendentally situated. Still, he remains humble. This talks now about an almost paradoxical feeling. You are so nicely situated, you have nothing to fear, but still there should be a humility. My dear devotees, you can only approach transcendental subjects if you jump out of the this is right, this is wrong logic. There are different factors working at the same time. It's a little bit complex in English language. Such a devotee thinks, because I'm still associated with the material world, so many contaminations affect me. I can see this. I do not wish to be contaminated, but I see sometimes that I become influenced by anger, for instance. I see objectively, although I am on the spiritual platform, I am become influenced by inordinate feelings, attractions, greed. I'm envious of others' success. I can see that. I don't. I'm not comfortable with these feelings. I don't want them any longer. So when he feels like this, then he becomes uninterested in material enjoyment, and pure bhakti manifests. Once Prabhupada wrote us, I remember our yatra was a recipient of this letter. My only critique of my devotees is they are not sufficiently afraid of Maya. This is my only critique. This carefulness, this humility purifies the devotee. And I have a very nice Prabhupada story about this. I heard it from His Holiness Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj in Lithuania. Srila Prabhupada once told Srinivas Swami one morning, "See, I will never fall down, but you can fall down at any moment." He told Srila Swami, our God brother, Srila Swami. So later in the day, Srila Maharaj noticed that Prabhupada was standing before the deities and he was really intently praying to the deities. And on the next occasion, Srila Maharaj asked Prabhupada, "I saw you praying, yes. What did you pray for?" Srila Prabhupada said, "That I never fall down." And Srila Maharaj said, "But Srila Prabhupada, you said earlier that one morning that you will never fall down, but we can fall down because we are weak devotees." And then Prabhupada gave this answer. I request you to think about this answer deeply. He said, "It is spiritually healthy to have some fear. It's healthy to not be overconfident and over optimistic. We should know anything could happen. And if we retain this consciousness or remain in this consciousness, we will be protected by Lord Balaram." Have you seen throughout the Vaishnava literature, throughout the literature of the saints of other traditions, they are very accomplished souls. Very accomplished souls. Oh, very accomplished. But they always seem to say, oh my Lord, please protect me. Oh, my heart has problems, there's anger, there is illusion, and so on. They will always say this. And by the way, it's not that they do this as a trick, like in our movement we may find devotees who take to the trick of appearing very humble. They touch your feet, the next moment they might break your feet, you know. But it's chic to be humble in ISKCON. So one does it. Who doesn't want to be chic? Chic is a French word. It means fashionable. No, these devotees don't make a show. They don't just say it because it's good and so on. They feel genuinely like this, that I am small and I need protection. And it is this feeling which draws divine strength. It is this feeling which draws divine attention. But someone who is overconfident, he will have to go on his own strength, but he will not be blessed with divine strength. So it is this sweet secret which is there. Now I'm very well aware as a modern preacher that some of our devotees suffer. They came with a minority issue, you know, some psychological issue, and because they feel very negative already, they jump on other negative feelings and they overdo it with the fear, and they overdo it with the self-deprecation, and they fall into inordinate psychological emotion which is really very egocentric. It's a manifestation of the false ego. I'm speaking of something else here. I'm speaking of a healthy vision of reality where you can understand I'm small, and you pray with folded hands and a heart full the English word is contrition. That's a difficult word. Zerknirschung, sagt man in Deutsch. It's a Christian word. A feeling that I really need you. I really need your help. This is one of the not often mentioned secrets of Krishna's appearance. When Devaki related like this to Kamsa with a fear, the Lord quickly took his appearance to save her and to take care of her. In the same way, when we are becoming a little realistic about life in the material world, and we understand I'm not the blessed one just because I be a seeker and devotee sometimes. I am the person who is also a conditioned soul still. Then we can pray, not falsely, but we can pray really for Krishna's help and surrender to Krishna's plan. But surrender and real prayer is not possible from the lips of a person who thinks I can do it all, who is not taking a healthy distance from the material energy. You cannot obtain what is in the West by running a Bible. What is the statement? Here is the statement. You cannot obtain the treasures which wait in the East by running to the West. It's not possible. You have to make up your mind. And for a conditioned soul to turn his back to the West, that means material energy, is only possible by two things. By beginning attraction to Krishna, by blessings of superior persons, and by the understanding, let me not enjoy the material energy. I've tried it many times. It just does not work. and he turns away from Maya. These three things need to be there: a healthy attraction, so some attraction to Krishna at least, blessings by superior personalities, very important, the power of blessings, and you need to turn away from Maya, very important. And that is only possible if you know how it's dangerous. Goodbye. Good, oh, no need, no need. So on. What happened with the Sapdavas, these six exalted demigods who did this mistake, who fell down and were killed by their own father? Well, Devaki, good-hearted Devaki, felt all this time, oh my sons, I lost six sons. And then when she met Krishna and Balaram in Kurukshetra, she had a private moment and said, my dear lords, I have heard that you brought back the dead son of your teacher, Sannipani Muni. I heard this. So today I'm requesting you, as a mother, I'm thinking of my six sons who left me. Can you please bring them back? And Krishna Balaram, by their inconceivable yoga maya, said, yes, mother, we will do it. And they went to Bali Maharaj in the lower plains, the Sutala plains. Then after Bali Maharaj spoke his prayers to them, he said, there are these six sons with you, the six sons of Devaki. Please give them to us. We want to bring them back to our mother. So Bali Maharaj brought these six forth, and they took the form of little children, the way Devaki had seen them, and they came to her. Krishna Balaram brought these six children. Maybe one carried three, the other three, I do not know. Or maybe they did it in an entirely different way by their internal energy, most probably. And they delivered the children to Devaki. Devaki saw them all, small little innocent children, and she nourished them. She brought them from her breasts, milk flowed, and she nourished them on her breasts. And because this was the milk, it was prasada milk, Krishna had drunk from earlier, before that, you know, when he was appearing as the son of Devaki. Then, because they had this touch of the Mahaprasad, they had this touch of Lord, of the Lord, they actually became reinstated in their position as demigods again, highly exalted demigods, and from there they went on forward. So everything is auspicious with Krishna and the pastime of Krishna. I just wanted to say that. In the same way, my dear devotees, when these six, when they were still covered with the demoniac curse, they represented lust, greed, anger, illusion, craziness, and enviousness. They represented these six forces, as our heart is full of these. But because of the fear of which this fearful situation, because of Kamsa, the fear, they were killed. Ping! So in the same way, when we as devotees have a natural fear, we think that I don't want this lust, I don't want this anger, I don't want this greed, I don't want this illusion, I really don't want this enviousness of devotees, I really don't want this. If we have this, they will be killed by this emotion. Whoop! Easy psychotherapy. And your heart will be shining forth with Krishna. Hare Krishna. Thank you for listening to this. I'm really thinking about this deeply. I can imagine some of you will also deeply consider these and look at it and think about it in various ways. The main point which I glean from Prabhupada's, Srila Prabhupada's purpose, I want to repeat again, because it is my great conviction that this is true. The appearance of the form of Krishna anywhere and specifically within the heart is called Dharma. So I wish you, as a humble servant of my exalted spiritual master, I very, very genuinely wish you that today your heart can become a Dharma where Lord Krishna appears. We have put together a very nice Jamashtami celebration with a lot of insights into Krishna's pastimes and a lot of singing the holy name. I think Gaura Hari will soon be with us and give us an orientation. We can't imagine it at Esther on day before. No? I think so. You're sure he is usually at this time in the deity room or somewhere in this. I wish you all that it will be a wonderful Jamashtami. I know many of you have come from far away places. I have seen devotees who have flown in from America. Great saints. I have seen many of you, and please remember, it is possible to have today a genuine, let us say, either a Krishna conscious experience or just coming closer to Krishna. You can actually take a lot from this. That's why I so much appreciate this decoration. Please remain under the shelter of our Lord today. Outside of the shelter, there are clouds and rain, possible. Please take a full advantage of your time here and think about your relationship with Krishna. And also be a little bit self-analytical and take a little distance to the things in the heart which shouldn't be there and which make you only suffer. Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, finished! I've done my part. Thank you very much. Prabhu, it's really, for me, this is not a theoretical lecture. It is very practical. I'm coming from a family, North German family. I have all the qualities which a North German person has, and I'm arrogant and foolish and all these things, and I'm thinking, I have always profited in my spiritual life when I see these things and I say I don't want them, and I run to Krishna and say, please help me, Lord Balaram, help me. When we have these bad things which come only out of avidya, and we pray to the Lord, Balaram personally enters the heart and gives us all the strengths which we require. They are all taken out. And it feels very nice. It feels very nice. Hare Krishna. Good. So here is our man. Hare Krishna, welcome Gaura Hari. I wish you a wonderful Jamashtami, and we have to see. By the way, Gaura Hari, maybe I'm seeing it's only 7 minutes past nine. Maybe there's opportunity to ask to answer some questions.
Yeah.
Is there?
Yeah, actually the Mother Yasoda is a little bit late this morning in dressing. So Darshan will be around 10 o'clock. So we have quite some space for questions and maybe some more kirtan.
Don't worry, I won't keep you up till 10 o'clock here, but if you have some questions, this is a good time, actually. Mother Yashoda is late addressing Krishna. Yes. I can see here is a question and I see there is a question. I'm sorry, my eyes do not reach so far that I can recognize you, but you know who you are. Please ask your question, Prabhu.
My question is, why did Hiranyakashipu get angry with his grandsons when they worshipped
My question is, why did Hiranyakashipu got angry with his grandsons when they worshipped Brahma when he himself...
He himself did it, yes.
So why this reaction?
Why this reaction? Thank you very much. This is a very good question. I thought about this. See, the way I heard it is that he felt his grandsons had switched sides. They were no longer on the side of the demon, but they were sides that were siding with the demigods. I think he was not entirely wrong, because they were demigods before, you know. And Hiranyakashipu, this is a powerful personality, he could see this. See, he worshipped Lord Brahma in the demoniac way, you know. Okay, I just use you. You happen to be the creator of the universe, so I will force you. And he developed this powerful flame out of his head, which began to scorch the whole universe, so that Brahma was forced to stop him and give him what he wanted. These grandsons, however, they felt, better we go on the side of the demigods. The demigods are often winning over the demons. We switch sides. And there was a different type of tapasya in a different mood in which they approached Lord Brahma. And Hiranyakashipu could sense that. He could feel that. Thank you very much, Prabhu. Very good question. So there's another Madhuji, please, the back.
Hare Krishna. So my question is, when Krishna appeared with all his opulences, Devaki asked him to hide. So I wanted to ask you to elaborate on this point. How did she convince him to hide his opulence, and how he became a child? And it was only just because of the fear of Kamsa, or there were some other hidden reasons why she asked him to hide his opulence?
Thank you very much for your question. In order to answer your question, we must know a little bit about rasa. When a devotee approaches the Lord in a certain rasa, with a certain emotional feeling, the Lord is totally responding to this at the same time. The Gaga Samhita gives a very, very interesting narration, which I would like to say, and just in very brief. Once Nanda Maharaj went with baby Krishna to inspect the meadows where the cows were grazing, and he showed Krishna the different trees and explained them, this tree is good for this tree gives this fruit. And while they were walking like this, all of a sudden a terrible storm came and fell over Nanda Maharaj in the forest, and he took his boy and protected him. So he thought, oh my God, what is with the cows? They are shelterless now in this storm, in this terrible weather. And I must decide between the safety of the cows and my little boy Krishna. Should I go back to the village and give him to Yashoda? And Krishna, in order to increase that thinking, started to cry, Papa. And becoming afraid, oh no, I must go to the village, but what is then with the cows? At this moment, the divine goddess of the Vrindavan forest, Srimati Radharani, came and said, is there something you need some help? And Nanda said, wow, thank you for coming here. Take my son and bring him back to Yashoda. Then I can take care of the cows. They need now to be brought to a shelter. So with this, Nanda Maharaj said goodbye, and Radharani carried Krishna. All of a sudden, because Radha has a different rasa to Krishna, it's a Madhurya rasa, not the Vatsalya rasa, Krishna turned into a beautiful Kishore, a beautiful blooming youth. And Radharani walked with him and talked with him, and they had many pastimes in the forest of Vrindavan. When Krishna remembers, I need to go, my father might be back at the village, and if I'm not there, he will be anxious. So in the midst of the pastime, he turned again into a little baby. And Rama thought, oh, right, I have to bring him back to Mother Yashoda. And in other words, the Lord simultaneously, for all his devotees, has different forms in which he responds to their desire to love him. Now, this is very important. So when Devaki, who is in the parental rasa, that means she feels like a mother feels towards the child and serves him like this, when she sees this, then she says, Krishna, you are so easily recognizable with this crown, you know, you look so auffällig, conspicuous, you look so everyone can see you like this, and please, it's easier to hide you when you are a baby, because she was determined, Vasudev was determined, they would not give this child to Kamsa, they would hide it. It's easier to hide you. And then Krishna responded to their parents. I mean, if she wouldn't be in Vatsalya Raj, she would have thought, wow, this form is good. I mean, he has a club, he has a chakra, this is Vishnu, let Kamsa come, he will see who is this strong, you know. But she thought different. She thought, my little baby, my shishu, you say to a baby, shishu, my shishu, and, you know, her little baby, and therefore she requested like this, and then we know Krishna did so, and Vasudev's chains fell off. You can see this very nicely in this picture which we have put on. And the first part of the 10th canto, you see Devaki and Vasudev, and Lord Vishnu appearing in his forearm form, and then turning into a little shishu, a little baby. Looks very sweet. You can see after the class, I can put the book here. You can see with your own eyes this illustration. It is there. Mm-hmm. Krishna, there's another question. I think it is, but I'm sorry, old age is. I will hear your voice and then I know who you are.
I just wanted to know why the moment of death, or even the threatening of the moment of death, why that is so powerful, because Kamsa, he completely changed his mind when he recognized that his death may come.
Yeah.
And if the soul is eternal, why is death such a defining moment?
Yeah. It says it's the Urangst. Behind all other fears, there is the fear of death. When one scripture it says death is as painful as if 1,000 scorpions bite you at the same time. I had in India spider bites, only spider, the big spider is really painful, really painful. And the whole arm became paralyzed, but 1,000, scorpions, the poison of scorpions is really much more powerful than spider poison, and 1,000 at the same time. Yes, why is it so fearful to us? Well, because we are identified with the body, and that's why we feel this type of pain very strongly. And this identification with the body is very strong. I heard about one great devotee of the Lord who had his tonsils removed, Manda. And he just went into thinking of Krishna, and he did not accept any anesthesia. He went into samadhi. When I heard this, I was young and foolish. I thought, let me do this at the dentist. Let me also try. So I went to the dentist. I had to go to the dentist. I didn't go because of the false disease. No, I had to go to the dentist. And he said, injection or no? No injection, no need. No need. Just give me 30 minutes, 30 seconds time. I have my method here. Then I envisioned a image of Krishna, a picture I had seen, and opened my mouth. And the trigger. Injection, injection, injection. That's very strong, very strong, very strong. And only these finally accomplished people. It's also not the goal of Krishna consciousness to come to this level, but I'm just saying this was one Gauranga Baba about whom this is told. It's not that all of us, please don't think if you need an injection it means you are very new in Krishna consciousness. No. But it's very, very painful. It's fearful. But don't worry, for a devotee, what we have seen is you are really protected by Krishna. This Mother Kalanga, who just died yesterday at 7:05 in the evening, I have seen pictures. She was really well taken care of. Devotees asked her before her death, do you feel any discomfort, any anxiety that she should have had? She didn't want to speak much because she engaged in chanting and dreaming for Krishna. And it was possible for her to go at the time of Jamashni. I think she chose that purposefully. She was very determined. Or she prayed for Krishna. And otherwise, I've also seen somehow at the hour of death, if you are a devotee, you're just a normal devotee, turn to Krishna. He's there. But it is a fearful situation. He is Haridam, who is an expert in this. Haridam, please say that.
So, Maharaj, I don't want to, if you don't mind, I'm not going to ask you a question, but I'd like to add to the question that has been asked.
Mm-hmm.
The way we die is often reflected in the way we live. So the culmination of your consciousness during your life will be reflected in the moment of your death. So for every action, there is a reaction. Whilst we accumulate negative reactions, we will have the accumulation of that at the moment of death. So there is a thing as a good death, and there are very good examples. We've seen two recent examples, one in Bhaktivedanta Manna, Maharaj referred to that, and we had a death a couple of days ago at Raradesh, where a devotee also left her body, and very recently initiated. And it was incredibly inspiring to see that the spiritual master can preach to the disciple according to the ethos of time, place, circumstance, and person. She took initiation very soon after she was given a poor prognosis and was unable to do her 16 rounds every day. And her spiritual master had made a compromise. But I will initiate you, and you don't have to do 16 rounds. You can do as much as you can. And she chanted up to the moment that she left her body. So a good death is something that we strive for in the way we perform our sadhana. It's the matter of spiritualizing your intellect and spiritualizing your consciousness. And that's going to be reflected at the moment of death. So while death is a great challenge, it not be one that is filled with fear. And I think Maharaj beautifully alluded to the fact that we can differentiate very clearly between spiritual fear and material fear. And if you come to our workshops, then we're going to teach you how to recognize material fear and turn that into spiritual fear, so that you can also work towards the good death, because that's very, very possible. And all our workshops that we run all over, well, India, South Africa now, and in Germany, is primarily aimed at how can you secure a good death.
Hare Krishna. Thank you. Thank you. Hari Dham is Prabhu is expert in this because he works in this field and accompanies people. I saw him recently in his Save Our Souls uniform. We're working. Good. Thank you very much. I'm now looking at the. I think it is a good time now to end this class. Gaura Hari will. I wanted to just say again, please have a wonderful Jama with me, and may we all come closer to Krishna in the way the Lord is allowing us to come. All the best, and Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.